Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm a fire medic on wildfires. I found something in the smoke. Thunderstorms yielded a surprising amount of rain, slowing the immediate progression of the wildfire to a dull advance. It sulked to the understory, as if it were pouting, greedily gobbling dead grass, but hesitant to touch the heavier fuels. It was biding its time and snatching chance like a spoiled child on Halloween. You know which child. The bratty one that ignores the sign that pleads, "Please take one," only to be terrified when the homeowner bursts from their staged hiding spot. In a similar fashion, fire crews were plotting their strike against the fire, but one could argue whether they were the child or the homeowner. Houses were laid, lines were dug, and boots hit the grounds to best the fire. The plan was to let it burn, but to keep it contained and controlled. In the darkness of the night, ponderosas stood indifferently. The fire lapped at their roots and consumed the surrounding litter. Perhaps it was arrogant to say we outsmarted it, and perhaps it was even worse to afford any sentience to a flame, but it certainly felt like the fire had been duped. We watched it gorge on the meager forest understory, only to hit dry, sandy dirt and die, trailing wisps of smoke in bitter protest and smoldering in forgotten wood. We were assigned the night ops, a position with some degree of greater hazard. We've all fumbled in the darkness of a known restroom at 3 a.m. at least once in our lives. Now, imagine that bewilderment with the world burning down around you in a place you've seen only in hasty passing. Watch out for country not seen in daylight, we practiced. Suffice to say, night ops came with obvious risk, but were typically less extensive than normal business hours. We were there to watch the fire crawl through the night. Specifically, we provided medical support to the skeleton crew that prevented the fire from getting too rowdy in its weakest hours. It was a straightforward assignment. Not that we underestimated the potential of the fire, but we laughed at ourselves when the most exciting thing we saw was a single tree fully engulfed in flames. I'd once seen a fire melt an entire highway of cars with people still inside. Comparing this fire to the car-melting fire was comparing apples to oranges. Not to say that people roasting was a good thing, but you'd invest a lot more energy into that than a solitary tree. The fire was working its way southwest through a surprisingly lush desert forest, and we parked the ambulance along its western flank. It churned beside us against the road. Smoke rolled in and out of varying intensities, and at its thickest, we moved our rig when we couldn't see more than a few feet in front of the ambulance, or when our eyes burned, or when the drifting embers looked particularly frequent and extra spicy. And we waited. Occasionally, the radio would buzz to life, but the traffic was never more than status. So, we waited more. At least a bored medic meant that all souls were safe, and the blaze was respectfully beautiful in its ominous course through the witching hours. But as a whole, fires are mourned. We grieve the separation and loss that they evoke, the forced unfamiliarity. But there is beauty in wildfire if you look, and despite the outwardly destructive appearance, abundance follows. Like new life enters the world bloodied, screaming and scantily covered in excrement, so too are fires, just as messy in the process of creation. It should be remembered, however, that wicked things wait to feast on the tender flesh of any opportunity, stalking gravid chance in times of great labor. It was some time prior to midnight. My partner was stretched out in the back of the ambulance while I watched the stars flicker in a break through the smoke. I'd caught a spot fire across the line sometime earlier and took care of the problem, alerting the division and continuing the course. It wasn't much of a threat, just something to do and something worth noting. My stargazing and vigilance came to an abrupt halt when a veil of acrid smoke obscured everything in front of the rig. Behind the rig, the smoke clung in thinner patches and glowed a warm orange between the silhouettes of spindly conifers. The silence of the night broke with a harrowing crash. Realistically, I suppose it was a tree succumbing to the doings of fire and gravity, but in my mind, it sounded like the sickening splinter of bone against force. A wet, agonizing separation of marrow and calcium. The noise was alarming, and only worsened by the subsequent sound of an elk screaming. Shivers rolled through me. I'd seen plenty of elk in the days I'd been here, but the creatures hadn't made a single sound until tonight. An elk's bugling is a haunting sound. Of course it is. I knew what they sounded like, but this was just different. The piercing sound came from behind us in the distance, and coupled with the snapping of whole trees, it sputtered a sense of dread and desperation. Ever the illogical person, I thought of the elk trotting to the blaze, lost from its companions and calling for them in a panic, its nostrils flaring as fire licked its heels. I stepped out of the ambulance to listen to the animal, my eyes watering in the thick smoke. I listened for a moment before I opened the side door to the back of the ambulance.
Was that an elk?
My partner, Bobby, chirped.
Yeah, and a snag fell. That was the thud,
I replied. The elk called again. This time, the solemn note came from within the thickest smoke in front of us. Yes, it was a lost elk calling for its kin. It had to be. This wasn't anything extraordinarily ominous. At least, no more ominous than the thought of living creatures burning alive. Another loud crack snapped in the distance, diverting my straining gaze leftward. Faster than I could redirect my attention again, there was a heinous growl mixed with a coarse hiss to my immediate right. Its voice was as dry as the landscape, as if its vocal cords had long ago desiccated to fibrous sinew and now flapped on dusty corpse's breath. Something large shambled in the night as it rushed towards me. Blinded, I could only hear its limbs scuttle and flail across the ground, scattering gravel in its wake. It sounded almost clumsy, driven by reckless vitriol. Its body toppled over itself as it lurched forward, blindly, crashing and thrashing across the earth. Its leathery tongue whispered foreign curses full of malice. All the while, it remained concealed in smoke and darkness.
Oh my God!
I screamed and fell backwards. We had parked the rig on the shoulder of the road, causing the passenger side to dip downwards. I launched myself in the only feasible direction of escape, up and into the open ambulance door. The middle of my back struck the steps leading into the ambulance. I threw my arms back to leverage my weight up, fighting gravity, and kicked my feet wildly into the abyss to deter whatever approached me. I wanted to fight. I wanted to sink my heel into its rotten face if it was going to get me, make it regret coming after me. But the urge succumbed when I thought of my partner. Not only would he have to watch me be forcibly dragged by my feet into the burning hellscape beside us, but he'd be alone to defend himself. And I didn't want to put the poor kid through that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So I drove my last frantic kick into the ground and pushed with my legs while I pulled myself into the ambulance, jumped to my feet, and reached out into the blackness to slam the door shut. I breathed only after the reassuring click of the lever lock slid into place, sealing us safely inside.
What the fuck was that?
He shrieked. I don't know.
Did you hear it? It didn't sound right.
I cut him off to fumble with my flashlight. Bright, white light filled the box. I pointed the beam out the door window, but the light hit the glass pane and reflected my face back. I nearly screamed again when I met with my terrified expression staring back at me.
I can't see shit. It's either my dumb reflection or smoke.
I sneered. My partner was silent for a moment before he whispered, "Skinwalker." A pregnant pause followed when he finally whimpered.
I thought you were gonna die. It had to be some sort of pissed-off critter. It had to be,
I assured, although who I was assuring remained up for debate. We paced the back of the ambulance, trying to figure out what we wanted to do next. I was terrified, but I couldn't believe it was anything as impossible as a skinwalker. Monsters were only myths born from boredom and isolation in days long gone. I mustered my courage and cautiously stepped back outside. I winced as my feet crunched on the gravel below me, and I scanned the smoke. Despite how stupid it all sounded, I was still scared. There were no shapes moving in the haze, and only the sound of crackling fire could be heard. Quickly, I ran to the front passenger seat, and my partner did the same to the driver's seat, locking the doors behind us.
Let's move. We'll radio division our new coordinates when we get the fuck out of here.
Bobby slams the keys into the ignition.
Wait,
I commanded.
What if there's something in the beams ahead of us? Are we ready for that? Stop.
He groaned in terror, pausing for what felt like an eternity as he contemplated my question and what he wanted to do next. I could feel my heart pounding. Reluctantly, he rolled the key forward, illuminating the haze with a click, and for a fleeting moment, I could see a lanky elk disappearing into the border of sight and obscurity.
It's just an elk,
I spoke hesitantly, ignoring that the shape and size of the animal wasn't quite right, but hoped it was only the illusion of darkness on its silhouette. Bobby stared nervously at the glow plug light, wait to start, so he could spur the engine to life. But before that moment could come, the radio and dash screamed. Our lights and sirens whirred, and the windows rolled down and up and down again. Static blasted through the mic, and we flinched to cover our ears. The dash and interior lights pulsed as if they were surging with electricity, and the radio morphed to a cacophony of screaming and sobbing, 1,000 voices wailing in torment over an unknown frequency. And abruptly as it started, the radio cut short, and the lights shut off. Sirens severed to silence. We were plunged into the black of night once again. Bobby forced the key forward again, but no reaction came from the rig. It was dead. I grabbed the handheld radio.
Communications, ambulance 13 on command 9.
As I spoke, I realized it also wasn't responding, despite being powered by a separate power source. I twisted the knob to restart it with no change. We were cut off completely from everything. I passed a nervous glance to my partner before my lungs began to sting with the heavy smoke that poured through the open windows, filling the cab and ultimately my chest with soot.
Listen,
I spoke quietly.
Crawl into the box.
I gestured to the narrow passage between us that connected the cab to the ambulance box where the gurney rested.
Lock the cab doors. I'm going to go get a Pulaski and a flare from the side compartments. Open the back when I knock.
Bobby stared back at me in silence. He didn't yet react.
I'll knock 4 times. That way you know it's me.
He was obviously torn between wanting to protest my reckless idea and protecting himself, and I was relieved to see him reluctantly accept the latter option.
Hey,
I added.
If anything happens, save yourself. I mean that.
Bobby solemnly nodded back. Securing my headlamp, I stepped out into the smoke once again, trying to quietly open and close the rig door. I walked cautiously around the front of the ambulance, eyes straining in the smoke as it slowly churned around me. The forest cracked with embers in every direction. The compartment behind the driver's side door was already stiff to open, but thankfully, it opened with little resistance this time. I rifled through the road kit for a phosphorus flare, checking the cap before shoving it into my pocket and grabbing the Pulaski. I pulled the protective cover from the sharpened edge, briefly sliding my finger over the axe side of the tool to reassure myself of its potential brutality.
What the fuck was that? Bobby hissed.
I spun around to scold him for following me, but he wasn't there. My confusion was quickly replaced with panic, however, when my feet were pulled out from under me. And I was dragged furiously down the road into the night and fire. Bobby heard the muffled scream of his partner, followed by a scuffle. He jumped to his feet and looked toward the cab, eventually creeping forward to peer more clearly through the windshield and pass a glance through the open windows beside him. He couldn't see her, nor could he hear anything that indicated she was anywhere nearby. He heard her warning echo in his mind. Save yourself. And chewed on the possibilities. Emboldened by poorly considered courage, he erupted to his feet. Running to the rear of the ambulance, he forced the lock's latch open and wrapped his fingers under the handle. His newfound bravery dwindled briefly as he contemplated what could await on the other side of the door. And as he pulled the handle, a stout kick interrupted him on the side door. Two more knocks followed.
Bobby?
The familiar voice called.
It's just a knock,
she assured. Bobby's body visibly relaxed to hear her voice. He stumbled over the gurney, shuffling to approach the door. There was a light scraping on the outside of the rig, and he assumed it was his partner struggling to open the locked door. He reached for the lock when he remembered her clearly stating, I'll knock four times. Bobby's mind raced, and his heart followed suit, frantically considering what was actually standing outside of the door, if it wasn't his partner.
Just an elk.
He replayed its perfect mimicry in his mind.
Hey, you said you'd knock on the back door.
He spoke sheepishly.
I can't see shit.
The voice retorted defensively. He was frustrated and afraid simultaneously. Maybe she really couldn't see where she was. He approached the side window cautiously and with quiet steps, hoping to see her glaring through the window in disapproval and pawing at the door, eager to scold his paranoia. But there was nothing. Just smoky darkness.
How many times did you say you'd knock?
Silence followed. Bobby stewed in a quiet terror. Sure, he'd caught the truth he needed to hear from this imposter.
Four times.
The voice finally spoke at the back door. It was not her familiar voice this time, but a wicked whisper beneath a sinister tone. Bobby's head whipped backwards, and he scrambled to reach the...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The door. Gracelessly, he flew over the gurney, bashing his knee into the hard frame, and fumbled to engage the locking mechanism. On the other side, he could hear the thing shuffle and struggle with the door. Its fingers, if it had fingers, pulled on the door and met only the sureness of the lock. It let out a monstrous screech before slamming its body into the rig once, twice, three times with a cracked window. And finally, a fourth with the greatest force and frustration. Bobby scuttled up the gurney as he saw its figure loom through the window.
Oh my God.
It wailed in her terrified voice once again.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Each time it cursed, its voice ran over itself until the sound morphed into an inhuman moan. It finally hissed and pushed away from the ambulance, galloping on broken, noisy joints. Bobby could hear the slapping of its naked flesh racing into the night beyond. He whimpered. He panted. Dragged by my ankle, the distance felt endless as I was raked mercilessly across the ground. My Nomex yellow shirt had been pulled free, exposing my back and belly. Rocks and sticks tore holes in my pants and bit at every inch of bare skin that they could. My spine scraped across basalt, erupting in vibrant red and quickly staunched with dust and darkness. But just as I questioned how long I could endure the onslaught, I was abruptly dropped in a small clearing. I had only a second to loathe the experience before I rolled on my knees to feebly confront my attacker.
What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that?
The sinister voice chanted, its cadence increasing with malicious excitement. I could see it crawling in the smoke, lurking behind thick, blackened trees.
It's just an elk.
It spoke in my voice. Struggling to my feet, I felt my heart hammer. The sudden switch from ground to feet after such an adrenaline dump and the searing pain in my body, coupled with the absolute madness I was enduring, left me quickly spent, and I felt my vision speckle as I nearly lost consciousness. Succumbing to involuntary sleep in this moment was surely a death sentence. So I pushed myself up and marched in place, forcing blood through my battered body. The thing in the trees had been eyeing me keenly, but it lolled its head acutely toward me and perked its body into a more hostile stance as I strained to remain upright. Perhaps it feared it was losing an easy meal. Perhaps it didn't like that I still had any semblance of fight in me, even if just a little. Beside us both, the previously melodramatic fire sprung to life as a ponderosa torched, erupting hot flames and devouring the understory and canopy. My pupils dilated in the new light, and the smoke cleared as the fire burned more completely. The fire jumped from crown to crown. For a fleeting second, I looked at the monster, unsure what terrified me more. This land was no stranger to fire, but I had underestimated its familiarity to spirits. Its blackened red skin resembled that of a burned body, taut over cooked muscle with pale yellow blisters in patches less warped by heat. It was vaguely human, yet it crawled on its hands and feet with ferocious and unexpected speed. All human resemblance vanished at its head, however. Despite a skeletal human face, its jaws moved independently, while its tongue wriggled wildly and unrestrained. An insect. An elk. A monster. It puffed its emaciated chest out as it lurched forward, growing with spite, only to be interrupted by a freshly reignited snag that came abruptly crushing down onto it. I took the opportunity to run, both from the monster and the fire. It howled behind me, and I didn't bother to look back at its fate, hoping it was as mortal to the forces of nature as I was. Fire loomed around me. It wasn't a flurry of unstoppable flames, but it certainly hovered at a quiet threat and seared my skin. I could hear elks circling me, uncharacteristic to how they normally acted. How many of those creatures were there? Their mimic bugles turned to human cries, turned to a noise unique to whatever pursued me. As they closed in, ready to welcome me to whatever horrific fate they planned, their cries and pursuit ceased unexpectedly as I stumbled onto the dusty gravel road beside the ambulance. I didn't hesitate to run to the rig, tripping and falling to my knees once more.
"Open the fucking door!"
I screamed at Bobby.
"No."
Bobby screamed back. I could see the ambulance shake as he obviously ran to the far side of the ambulance. Rage and terror overtook me before I remembered.
"You fucking obedient bastard!"
And slammed my knuckles across the rear four times.
"Let me in, Bobby, or I swear to God, I'll make you regret being partnered with me."
Silence followed hesitation, but the door eventually opened just enough for Bobby's fearful face to peek through. Crushing fear still radiated through me, but for a fleeting second, I cracked a smirk at my partner. I hugged him as soon as he was fully exposed, and we were safely stowed, wincing as I moved.
"You look like shit,"
he spoke flatly.
"What is it out there?" "I don't know. I don't care. We have to find a way out,"
I spoke on quick breaths, accurately aware of how much I hurt.
"Have you tried to start the rig?"
Bobby shook his head no and moved to the front through the passage. He tried to look discreet against the open window beside him. There was no change from the rig when he turned the key.
"Didn't you say we have a portable jumper?"
"Yeah, it's in the engine's compartment,"
he whispered with a frown.
"Let's go out together this time, and then we'll Rochambeau for who stays out and jumps in. On three?"
Bobby nodded.
"One?"
I spoke, anticipation dripping from my voice.
"Two?"
We spoke together.
"Three?"
And we both burst out. Bobby burst to the driver's door, and I ran from the side. By the time I reached the driver's side, Bobby had the jumper battery out and was carrying it to the front. Without words, we readied our hands. I ultimately brandished a rock and Bobby a scissors. He groaned in defeat, but fair is fair. I ran to the front and pulled the lever to release the hood. Bobby made quick work of the cables, declaring, "Try now," too quickly. To our collective relief, the engine turned, but to our dismay, it did not fully start. It would need a moment longer on the jumper. The second attempt, following an unnaturally slow and equivalently dreadful moment's time, yielded success and stirred haste between us. Bobby slammed the hood shut while I revved the engine, flinching lightly as the exhaust pushed dust and smoke in the side mirror. Bobby reached for the passenger door when a sharp pain stung through my left shoulder. I hadn't even time to process the burning I felt when I realized one of those monstrosities had shoved its horrific frame through the driver's window and grabbed hold of my body, its individual mandibles wrapping securely around my shoulder and arm like vice clamps. My body tensed, and a wave of pain pulsed through me as sore muscles sprang to weakened life. I passed a pleading glance at Bobby when the creature pulled its head back out the window, with me clumsily and forcefully following. Its jaws twitched as it dragged me like a rag doll. I hit the ground out the window. The monster released me, stepping back to screech at me while I fought to stay awake. My eyes rolled in my head and the world spun. An overwhelming amalgamation of sensations flooded my senses. The earth was cold and sharp. The air stung and smelled.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cash back is deposited directly into your PayPal account. Or, if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up.
Held of ash and iron, my vision came to focus, revealing the Pulaski I dropped earlier, the first time I was dragged off to my doom. I shakily reached for the hilt of the tool, digging its iron head into the earth so that I could use the length of it to support myself as I stood and groped in my pocket for the flare I had stashed earlier. In response to my movement, the monster threw itself at me. I fell backwards with the creature on top of me, but in one swift action, I dragged the ignition end of the flare across the rough ground. Red chemical light filled the night, and fluorescent sparks shot around us. Its long head shot forward like a viper at my throat, but I shoved the flare into its black eye before it could fully strike. Its eyes looked like mummified sockets in the darkness. I wasn't expecting the resistance of wet, gelatinous meat as I plunged the stick into it. Rancid sludge poured from the black pool of its former eye. It screamed. I couldn't tell if it was pain or anger or surprise or some combination of everything. It slashed recklessly into the air, snagging the flesh on my left forearm. Ripples of subcutaneous fat glistened in the artificial light before flooding with vivid red. I didn't care. I had to kill it now or die trying. So as I reeled in disgust at my attack, I mustered the last of my strength and lifted the Pulaski so that the axe end faced my threat, and I swung it with the last of my willpower. It was a distinctive sound. Joints make a similar noise as they jerk into or out of place, but there was a hollow resonance in the wetness of this sound that rendered it unmistakable. It was satisfying. It was horrifying. It was the sound of metal splitting skull and splattering gray matter. In almost immediate reaction, the creature convulsed. It fell on top of me, blood spasming without a command, and jaws shivering with disconnected, dying nerves. Pressed against me, it smelled like a mix between putrid barbecue and a tragic house fire where not everyone made it out in time. Gradually, its body grew still and fetid fluid spilled onto me from its horrific maw in one final insult. I was screaming. I was crying. Bobby ran up and pulled its limp arm, trying to free me, and eventually he succeeded. He held pressure on my arm while I winced and shoved gauze into the laceration. We spent only enough time to stop the bleeding before we quickly returned to our escape. Bobby drove while I attempted radio comms.
Communications?
I started, my voice wary.
Ambulance 13.
13.
The div sub chirped.
Where have you been? Do you have cell reception?
Affirmative.
I sighed. Almost immediately, my phone sprung to life.
Where the hell have you been?
The div sub scalded.
We lost our communication. There was...
I paused, thinking how I could possibly explain the evening.
An accident. I'm hurt.
He was quiet for a moment as he contemplated what I had said.
How bad?
Well, it's not great.
Can you triage patients?
Yeah, I could probably do that. What's going on?
The fire jumped the line. There's a whole crew unaccounted for. Before we lost comms, they were saying something about some crazy man lighting the trees on fire. Tall son of a bitch, running on all fours.
Thank you for listening, and delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.